scripture today, and as we look at this word today, I want to encourage you, and I thank God for our men and how even this past week we were able to have such a wonderful conversation about just being men of resolution, men who are ready to make a difference. And sisters and young people, our children who are part of this congregation, you're going to begin to see some things in the men that's going to excite the entire group, excite everybody. I mean, there's some release that's happening that I think has been pent up for some of our men 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And things that we've never talked about before, things that have been emotionally disturbing to us, we've been able to begin to talk about those things. And I want you to know, sisters, and I want you to know, young people, that's big. That's big, because that's one of the reasons why I don't think we see the power of God like we should see it today. It's because too many of us have pent up emotionally disturbed feelings, and we are in a position where we really can't be used by God. Okay, how much we pray, okay, how much we tithe and give, how loud we sing, how much we fall out. You know, some of us can't be used by God until we get this stuff out, right? Because we're just painting over it, you know, glossing over it, putting, you know, a holy robe over, you know, a dirty presence, so to speak, and trying to, and God is able to wash away all of our sins. But the thing is in order to repent for anything, you must identify it. Amen. That's how you repent. You got to identify it first, then you repent. Right. You can't act like it's not there and then say, well, I'm forgiven. No, so there's some things that are in us that we have to get out, and our culture is telling us that, our society is telling us that, that we don't have time to waste. So look at somebody and say, you don't have time to waste. Mm. You don't have time to waste. You really don't. You don't have time to waste. We are in a very crucial time, and I'm excited about it, but I'm telling you this right now. Get ready, because God wants to use you in a powerful way. And you who have been sitting around waiting on somebody else to do it, God's looking at you. You who say, I'm waiting for somebody to come up with something, some solution, God said, I'm looking at you. You got the solution. You waiting on the mayor and the president, whoever. I said, no, I'm looking at you. You don't need a title to make it happen. I've called you, and I've qualified you. Mark chapter 4. Let's go there. Mark chapter 4. The gospel according to Mark. If you need a Bible, please let us know. We'll get one to you. If you can raise your hand, we'll get something to you. Borrow, look on a neighbor's Bible, whatever you got to do today, but I need everybody's eyes on the Word of God today, as always, but we definitely don't want a day to go by without looking at the Word of God and learning something from it. Mark chapter 4. I'm gonna read to you verses 3 through 8. We're going to talk about good soil today on this Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series. That has been going on. We call it a journey, more or less, and not a series, because series can be 4, 5, 6 weeks. This here can be 4, 5, 6 years. I don't know how long we're going to be, you know, so. So however long it takes, we're going to do this. And I just believe God has called me to this type of ministry. He's building me up. He's helping me to understand more and more how to be emotionally healthy so that I can spiritually be strong. And so I've learned to begin to talk about things that I've never talked about before, to release some things that I've never released before, and I want to help people to do that. And I want you to help people to do that. So that's why, you know, this is a journey. So you take what you learn and you continue to spread it, and you continue to let people know about the journey that we're on. because we're going to be on it for a while. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. I'm going to read from the Amplified, but I need everybody to read along with me silently. Look in your Bible, whatever version you have, but I want you to hear what this word is saying. And we're going to take our time a little bit today, not rush through scriptures, because I want to get some thoughts out to you that I really want you to write down and carry with you the rest of this week. Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark, verses 3 through 8. Give attention to this. Now, whenever we read scripture, and I'll be stopping going back and forth, whenever we read scripture, we shouldn't just read past statements like this. It says, give attention to this. That means that you have to prepare yourself for what's getting ready to be said. Give attention to this, it says in the Amplified. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed, somebody say seed. Some seed fell along the path, and the birds came, and they did what? Devoured up, ate it up, says in the Amplified. Other seed of the same kind, so it wasn't different seed, same kind of seed, fell on the ground full of rocks, where it had not much soil. Somebody say soil. And at once it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. Means it wasn't rooted. And when the sun came up, it was scorched. And because it had not taken root, it did what? Withered away. Other seed, verse 7, of the same kind, he's letting you know, same kind of seed, no different kind of seed, same seed, fell among thorn plants. And the thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated it. And it yielded no grain. And other seeds, somebody say seed again, of the same kind, no different seed, fell into good, well-adapted soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding up to 30 times as much and 60 times as much and even 100 times as much as had been sown. All right. So let's stop there. Now, many of you probably have heard this passage before, and many of you have heard this taught in the context of, right? That's why we hear people say, you know, let's sow a seed, you know, in giving when it's offering time. Okay? That's not where we're going with this. Okay? Because I don't think this is where Jesus was going. You know, sometimes we use stuff because it sounds good and it may fit what we're trying to say. But that's not where Jesus is going. Okay? Jesus is trying to tell us that there is seed that is going to be planted. And he shows us where the seed can flourish. He just gives us an example, several examples of what can prohibit seed from flourishing. That's what this is about. What can prohibit seed from flourishing? Now, go to verse 14, 13 and 14. Same chapter, Mark chapter 4. When they were asking about this parable because they didn't understand it, and he's in an agricultural environment, so he uses seed and sowing to illustrate a point. It is a parable. Jesus was a parabolic and is a parabolic teacher. That means that he tells things in story form so that people can get it and understand it. And that's why many times we use today's illustrations and things of that nature. We're just following the principles of Christ to show how we can understand what's going on. Jesus was the greatest psychologist of all time. He knows how the mind works because he created it. So he knows what turns human beings towards understanding. And it's parabolic teaching. He put that in us. And so teaching in parables, that's why, you know, things the world has taken that, and that's why some of us, maybe not now, but maybe in your life past, years ago, you used to get caught up in soap operas. Right? Used to, right? Okay. Because you wanted to see what was going to happen next, but they were telling you a story. And the world knows what locks you in. I mean, you would shut down or record and then come home and shut down. Because you wanted to see what was going to happen next. So Jesus knows this, and Jesus is teaching in this form. And he said to them in verse 13, "Do you not understand or discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables?" Check this out. He said, if you don't get this, you ain't going to get none of it. He said, if you can't understand this basic parable here, then whatever I say from this point on, or whatever has been said, you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand it. Verse 14 is the key. Underline, highlight, rewrite verse 14, whatever you got to do. Verse 14, very simple. What does it say? The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Say that. That's verse 14, right? So look up here at me and say it now. The sower sows the word. Say it.
The sower sows the word.
If all of you who have never memorized the verse, you just did. The sower sows the word. That's the whole key to this parable. Understanding this piece. The sower sows the word. Didn't say the sower sowed money, did it? Said the sower sows the word. He's trying to get us a principle so that we can understand what he's trying to say. He says the sower sows the word. The seed is the word. That's the seed. The sower sows seed. Seed is the word because it says the sower sows the word. So the word is seed. The word, the seed is not money. Okay, we got that, right? Okay, I really want you to understand that. Okay? So if the word is seed and we sow this word, then is he talking about sowing word, the word, into dirt, into ground of the earth? No. He's not saying, you know, a person plants their Bible or covers their Bible with dirt and waters it, and it yields fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. He's not saying that. So if he's saying the sower sows the word, then where is the word sown? Oh, in us, right? So now we can understand that he's not talking about earth and natural seed that yields plants and grains, but he's talking about the word, and he's talking about people. So if we go back and we read, we'll understand that what he's really saying is that for some people, they will never yield fruit or grain in the condition that they're in. Some people will never receive fruit or see fruit in their lives from because of where they are. Or if you're growing up among the thorns and the thistles, who you hanging with can prohibit and choke out the seed, the word of God, that God is planting in you. So it could be you, who you're with, or where you are, that can prohibit seed, the word, from flourishing in your life. This is why, okay, let me not jump ahead of myself. Go to verses 23 and 24. If any man hears or has ears to hear, that word hear means comprehend, to understand. If any man has ears to hear and to understand, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear, says in the Amplified, will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, I'm going to explain this. I think the King James says, what measure you meet shall be measured back to you. How many of you never really understood that when you read it in the King James English? It was this. I said, what measure you meet, measured back to you. What are we talking about? Let's just break it down. Let's just make it real simple, right? It's all about our lives getting better. This is about really what we need to do here. I am going to jump around a little bit, so if you had my notes, you're probably wondering where I am. This is what I need to say. We don't see fruit in our lives because we're not good soil. We're not good soil for the word. Some of us have wondered, I've been praying, I've been fasting. Stuff's supposed to happen. I come to prayer meeting. I come to church, worship experience. I'm lifting my hands. I'm reading the word of God. But ain't nothing happening. Jesus said, the same seed. That's why I was reading that in the way that I was in verses 3-8. The same seed. He's planting something in you. It ain't no different than what he's planting in her. It ain't no different than what he's planting in you. It's the same seed. Nobody has access to a magical bag of seed that God has sitting in the corner somewhere in a secret room. And if you say the right password and shout and cut your foot around the floor a certain way, then you're going to get access to that special seed. And all you got to do is go in and speak over it, and it's going to happen. It's the same seed. I got a bag of seed right here, and you got the same bag of seed. There's nothing different about this. We wonder why some people can experience the fruit of God and be in the same place, receiving the same word from the same pastor on the same day. Got the same membership. Everything is the same, but for some reason they're prospering and I'm not. Look at somebody saying it ain't got nothing to do with the seed. So it's the same seed. So now you got to ask yourself a question, why are they getting it and I'm not? I believe Jesus is talking about some people who are emotionally unhealthy, who don't have it together, who have pent up stuff, have unforgiveness in their heart, have been hurt by somebody, never talked about it, can't get over it, and are bitter. You can't shout that away. Look at somebody and say, you might need counseling. We're going to be real. You might need to sit down. You might need to make an appointment with pastor. You might have to sit down with somebody on this one. Because the seed is the same. That messed me up. Like somebody can go and get the same. So you know how you go by and you admire folks landscaping on their houses. you know, around their home. You admire that. You know? Now, it takes a little work, but you can plant the same type of stuff. You can get the same, you can go to Eastern Market and get you the same flat. And make your little arrangement, you know, and it can look nice. But if you're not willing to put it in good soil, it's not going to prosper. So this is the question that we have to ask ourselves today. Am I good soil? Am I good soil? Go ahead and ask yourself that question. Right. Now don't answer yourself yet. But am I good soil? Because, let me say this. Some of us are not good soil. Now, I know that you want a very encouraging, uplifting message, and I'm going to try to get to that point. But I need to let you know that some of us are not good soil. And you can come every week, and you can be faithful in coming, but you won't see fruit because you're not good soil. Nothing's gonna change. Because the seed is going to the same bad soil. So now, let's get to that measure, meet, measure, back to you, King James English stuff. Says that the word measure, I want you to literally write in your Bible, the word measure actually means value. A measure is a value in your Bible. Measure means value. Okay? That's what it is. So I want to say, I'm going to read verse 24 again, but I'm going to take out the word measure. I'm going to replace it with the word value so that we can really get an understanding. It says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The value of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the value of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Value. The reason why I want us to look at that word measure as it has been translated into the English from the Greek. The Greek word also has the word value attached to it, so that we can understand that maybe this word, the way that it is written, does not help us to fully gain an understanding. That's why we have wonderful people who took years to create lexicons and to look at Bible dictionaries and things of that nature. God has blessed us with people who did the work so that all you can do is press a button and do some research and you can find out how the translators even looked at and prayed about how they would translate from Greek and Hebrew into English, the Bible. And so It is a fascinating thing to look at and do, but it says whatever value you place on what you hear will determine its power and influence. That's what I want to say. Whatever value you place on what you hear will determine its power and influence. Now, this is so key. This is so key. The reason why some people flourish when the seed is planted in them and some people don't when the seed is planted in them is because they don't value the seed. And then let me say this. They don't value the soil. Could be one or another or a combination of both. Don't value the seed, you don't value the soil, or you don't value the seed and the soil. Did that help somebody already? Okay. So when we look at this, the value that we place on something determines how we're going to receive it. Let me give you an illustration. You're going to a concert, right? Let me help some folk out. Any concert that you would place a value on. As you're going to that concert, you've bought the records from this artist or this group, and you're anticipating, right? You're ready, because you're ready to sing along with them, you know? Throw the light in the air. You know how they used to do? Used to. But you value that concert. You're willing to invest in that ticket to go. And don't let somebody give it to you for free. Lord, have mercy. You are ready. And you go and you're there and you're enjoying that concert. And then you bring somebody with you who doesn't like that group. They're singing the same song to everybody in the crowd. There are a lot of folks singing along, but the person that doesn't value that music will kind of just watch. It was okay. It doesn't move them. But you let them pick where they want to go. And they may be all in, but it had everything to do with the value that they placed on the experience. If you come in, oh, we got to go to church today. Tell the truth, who got up like that? No, don't raise your hand. So anyway, I don't want to see it. but you know, oh, we got to go to church. Oh, they go, oh, there they go. They singing again. How long this going to last? And you know, you get onto that. So now, I'm not surprised. That fruit ain't just popping off of your tree. Because of the value you place on the experience. Now, some folk come charged up. I mean, they ready. They say, Pastor, if you don't preach it, I'll get up and preach it. They ready. They charged up. And we see that a lot. They can be fruitful, right? It's a big difference. What you bring to the table says a lot about what you're going to get from it. That's what Jesus is saying. The measure you meet, what you bring, the value you bring to it is what's going to be measured back to you. Now, let me show you how this works in emotionally messed up people, and I'm going to relate it to people and then the Word of God, and then you can take this and tell somebody else about it. Here it is. When you're in a position where somebody who is a stranger to you, you really don't know them, and they come up and they start saying some bad things about you, it may not affect you as much as somebody that's close to you. So if I can use a scale of 1 to 10, if a stranger comes up and a stranger starts spouting off bad information and you ain't this and you ain't that and whatever, you may not be fair. You may give it a 2 or 3. Right? Okay, you said it. All right, okay. But you don't know me. So, you know, I can deal with that. But when somebody tight with you, I mean close with you, I mean Ace Boon Coon. I took y'all back, didn't I? I took y'all way back on that one. Some of y'all were some young people like, Ace Boon Coon, what is this? They don't know what I'm talking about. ask your parents or your guardians when you get out of here. So ask them about. So but that's somebody real tight, real close, right? If they say something negative about you, bad about you, on scale of 1 to 10, where's it going to hit? 12, 14, 16, 20, right? I mean, that's tough. That's tough because you thought y'all were close. And so whatever they say has a great value, right? You take it to heart. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. Now, let's flip it. Stranger says something nice about you. Oh, hey, you look nice today. Oh, thank you. Well, some people might get excited about that, but you know, you scale one to 10. You know, you may not, you know, okay, that's fine. Somebody close to you, you know, say, oh, you look nice today. You look good today, you know. It goes off the charts. Right? Because what they said, because I value them, what they say has value to me. It's huge because we close. There's a relationship. So to sum this segment up, the closer the relationship, the higher the value on what they say. So now, look at somebody and say, put your seatbelt on. Because what they say will affect you if you're close to them. You believe what they say. If they tell you you look good, oh, you know you looking good. Right? You just know it. Why? Because they what? They said it. Come on, because they what? So the closer the relationship, the stronger the value. That is probably the most powerful statement I can say today to you. And I'm going to tell you why. But just can you write that down? All right. The closer the relationship, the stronger the value. That's the main principle today. Here it is. Let me tell you why. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, man, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. You think so, Nadine? This is Nadine? All right. That's good. Brother Brad, this is all right? Okay. The closer the relationship, the stronger the value, and the more you believe what a person says. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Key verse that goes along with that statement I just wrote down. I mean, that I had you to write down. I did write it down, too, as well. Earlier, before you. Somebody said, I didn't see you write it down. I wrote it down already. Ephesians 2:10. Here it is. I love the Amplified. You got to hear this in the Amplified. If you don't have an Amplified, you need to go out and buy this bag of seed here. All right? The Amplified. You need Amplified for this. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now we're getting somewhere. We are His workmanship. This bag of seed tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are His workmanship, right? Now, somebody may look at that word and say, workmanship. I ain't feeling that. So we go to the Greek, because I had to understand this workmanship. Right? That term is not resonating with me. It's not getting into the soil. So I go to the Greek and I see the word poema, which is where we get the word poem from. So now I can say that we are His poem. And if you ever read a poem, it flows. There are parts of a poem that are in agreement with other parts. A poet carefully constructs a poem, thinking about each individual word and how it fits into the entire flow. That's what a poet does, right? If we are his poema, his workmanship, or his poem, then it means God is a poet. And if he's caused us to do works, to do means that we are poetry in motion. Get that? We are God's poetry in motion. That means we are flowing with the words of God that he formulated and fashioned and carefully constructed, because he knew us before we were formulated in our mother's womb. And if you ever understand something, that means that we were a thought in the mind of God before we became who we are. Poets begin with thoughts. What do I want this poem to sound like? Then he created you. But if you're emotionally unhealthy, you won't accept that. Because the closer the relationship, the more you believe what's said. I just gave you a statement. The closer the relationship is, the higher the value you place on what's said. Some of us say we believe God, but we have a closer relationship with man who defines us, really. Because we place more value on what man says than what God says about who we are. I'm a poem and poetry in motion. That means God's words resonate in me. He plants them in me, and then I have the duty to bring forth fruit. That's who I am. But if I have a closer relationship with somebody who doesn't care about me, whatever they say, that's what matters. But if I'm in relationship with God and I'm close to God, whatever he says, I value highly, because that's the closest relationship I have. That's now we can say that we need to put God first. We understand what we're saying now, because all we're saying is have a closer relationship with God than anybody and anything else in this world, because whatever he says will determine how you interact with anybody and anything else in this world, because whatever he says, that's what I'm going to believe. That's what I'm going to believe. And nothing else to believe, because I'm placing the most value on that. Whatever mess I meet. So whatever value I put in the thought and study to the word of God, that's what I'm going to get back in knowledge and in power. Because I value this thing. I ain't reading because somebody told me to read. I'm reading because I value, because I understand that this is where I am defined. That's my thing. I'm defined by this. So somebody can talk about me. Okay, fine. God said this. You had a 1, God had a 10. Sorry, he outweighs you. So say what you want, I'm going to believe what he said. But an emotionally unhealthy person who's concerned about what everybody else thinks, and you're dealing with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, and you don't understand your relationship with God, you're not going to be good soil, and you're not going to reap the benefits of this bag of seed being planted inside of you. You're going to miss it. Look at somebody and say, don't miss it. See, I got to be good soil. My relationship with God determines whether my soil is good or not. The closer that I am to him, the closer I get to him, the closer he gets to me. That's how it works. It's a relationship. And I gain this fruit that comes from this. So So when somebody says something, I don't give it really any credence because I got to go on what God says. He says, I'm his poem. And then I was check this out, Ephesians 2:10. He says, he formulated me to do good works, which he predestined or planned, or before I could think about it, he had already thought about it. He said, this is what I want you to do. That's why I had you write down your hopes and your dreams, because God gives you, or he reiterates to you what he said to you prior to you being born. He said, this is why you as a poem were structured and created. And each poem sounds differently, but it's just as eloquent, just as beautiful sounding. All right. Whew. Yeah, come on, preach with me, man. All right. So he said, you're predestined to do good works. And those works, listen, those works are not just, you know, just going to church and reading the Bible. Here's what the works are. I wrote this down. Works in the original language, it means any product or anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind. Any enterprise, any occupation. He said you were destined to do good works. Any occupation, any enterprise, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind. God says, whatever I do, it's going to be good. He predestined me to be good at it and to do good works. Good things with my hands, good things with my mind, good things in industry, good things in business, good things on my job. He says, that's what God predestined me to do. This is what he called. So somebody say, well, you're a bad worker, and you know you're not a bad worker. What did God say? God said you're a good worker. God said, I predestined you to do good works. So believe what he said. Now, so we got a choice. We're going to believe what other people say about us or what God says about us. And this is the key. Go to Colossians 1:16 and then we're done. Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Let's go there. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1:16. This is what he said about you. This is what he said about me. He said, for it was in him that all things were created, talking about Jesus, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him by his service, it says in the Amplified, or intervention, and in and for him. You were created in and for him. That's your purpose. Not to be used by somebody in this society who is taking advantage of you. No, you were created in, by, and for him. That means your purpose is some people go through their lives and they say, what is my purpose? What is all? My purpose is to do his will, because I was created for him. That's why the word says that we are not our own. You see that? You're not your own. You created by and for him. Wherever he places you, that's where he wants you to be. Wherever he places you, not where you want to go and ask him to bless it. Wherever he places you, that's where he wants you to be. And you were created for that purpose, to be there, to make a difference, to have an impact, and to bear fruit. You were made for him. Look at somebody and say, you were made for Jesus. Everything you do is made for him. I am going to give you one last scripture, and then I guarantee you, this is the last one. Hebrews 4:2. I can't leave this out. I got to go back. I was going to mention it to you earlier, but emotionally unhealthy people have trouble with their faith. And this is why they don't see fruit as well. And that's why I want you to be healthy emotionally, because the stony ground and all that, the word is going, is falling among thorns. That hurt, that pain that you felt in your life is falling among thorns when this word comes in. And I want it to take root. I want it to get down in good soil so it can yield 30, 60, 100 fold. What does it mean? 30 times as much, 60 times as much, 100 times as much. You know what? I'm going to take liberty with that scripture. I'm going to say that during our lifetime, we need to bring at least 30 people to the Lord. Wow. Just think about that. Every believer. Because you're yielding 30 times as much, right? Some 60, some 100. Right? You're talking about dollars now. It's talking about people. So the word is sown in the people, and the people bear fruit. What does fruit look like? It's like you're going out and bringing more people into the kingdom of God. At least 30. Wow. How's that for a goal? Huh? Y'all, anybody write that one down? It's 30 people to the Lord. In my lifetime, I want to bring at least 100 fold. 100 times as much. All right, so what did I say, Hebrews 4, before I gave you all that big goal there? All right, Hebrews 4, 2. Last scripture. For indeed, we have had the glad tidings of the gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites, did of old, when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. So he's saying that the gospel that God has given, a delivering gospel that God has given to us, is the same that he gave to the Israelites of old. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. Same bag of seed, right? But it was not mixed with faith, with the leaning on or of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. That's what faith means. So it was not mixed with this. It was not mixed with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Remember Jesus was talking earlier in Mark 4 about be careful what you hear. Understand what you hear. Mix it with faith. If you've been hurt a lot by people, if you carrying around pain and anguish and unforgiveness in your heart, it's hard for you to lean totally on God. God says, I want to work with you to get that out so that then you can really trust me, because you can't really see the benefits of my word, as it says in Hebrews 4:2, unless it's mixed with faith. Faith is not just believing, but it's that everything that I read, leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. That's faith. Faith is a catalyst. I've talked about this before. Faith is a catalyst. If you understand what a catalyst is, it's a part of a mixture. It's like glue. Glue products that require a catalyst in order for it to bond, because if they put everything together, it'll stick to what it's actually in, and you won't be able to use the glue. So you have to apply it, that catalyst, mix it real quick, and that catalyst gets those molecules and gets everything that's in that product flowing and going and makes it what it was intended to be by the manufacturer. That's what God is saying. Faith is the catalyst. Unless you mix the word with faith, it's never going to be what he intended for it to be in your life. It has to be mixed with faith. Faith is the catalyst. It gets the words moving off of the pages and in your heart. Faith is the catalyst and lets you know that you can believe what this word says in these 66 books. Faith is the catalyst that helps you to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Faith is the catalyst that lets you know how important it was for Jesus to come, bleed, die, and then rise from the grave just for you. Faith is the catalyst that lets you know that you are not a mistake. I don't care how you were born or how you were brought into this world. Faith is the catalyst that lets you know that you can get through whatever you're facing right now, because not only has his word said it, but now I believe it. Because that man who came to Jesus, whose son was hurting, whose son was stricken, whose son was overpowered with that demon, he said, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. I need a little more catalyst to put in with this word so that I can see it happen for myself. I've seen you work in others, but now I want to see you work in me. I want to have my own catalyst now so that I can receive my own healing. I've seen and rejoiced over somebody else getting healed, but now, God, I'm going to put this catalyst with this word, and now I'm going to see my own healing. I've seen you deliver other folk, but now it's my time to understand that this is for me. You are speaking to me. This word is for me. This time is for me, and I am ready to receive what you are saying, because I am good soil. So plant your seed, God, and watch it flourish in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shout, I'm good soil. Shout it, I'm good soil. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you right now for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to receive the seed of your word. Hallelujah. We're going to take your word now, and your word means nothing, because an atheist can read your word and nothing will happen. An agnostic can read your word and nothing will happen. A Buddhist